Well, holy shit, everybody. It's the Stunt Granny edition for the Royal Rumble 2011. We're actually doing a review show, as promised. And it's actually going to be posted on a Monday, as promised. So, we're...
Yes, it is. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Yay us!
So, we're two for two on the promises this year, if you include the, you know, the whole Royal Rumble number thing.
Oh, I was so pissed. I ended up seeing people put comments in my thing, and I was like, oh, fuck, I should really put that in there that I have no clue who's working that right now.
Yeah.
Well, because, who won? I was completely clueless. Like, Eric and Dusty usually handle that, and I've never been in the loop. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And I just let it slide, and yeah. Being the only one that was doing something for the site on the day of the Royal Rumble, I really should have included that.
Eh, whatever.
Actually, I'm a jackass.
When it comes to contests, you know I'm out, so I just don't care.
Dusty actually was paying enough attention that he got it up there. I think during my during the blog, I think I didn't really check time frames, but it seemed like it. So yeah, at least somebody was looking at that thing.
Yes, and one of our compatriots, I don't know,
both
from
work.
East Coast Audio, was it Travis or Dre won?
Travis,
yeah.
Yep.
So that actually is kind of funny, because it seems like it's a fix, but, you know.
I would never put the fix in for anybody from Philadelphia, so.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So, if there was a fix in, it wasn't by my doing.
And it's not part of our affirmative action clause, so this isn't the torch. So, all right. Well, let's quit patting ourselves on the back. And I asked Eric if he caught the show, and he said he didn't. And I just didn't have the heart to say, "Of course not. You would watch it on a 19-inch television, but you wouldn't be able to see it anyways." Oh, I mean, if Eric has a 19-inch TV, he does. Eric still gets scared by the letters DVD, so.
Well, you know, you can't pop WrestleMania from 1993 in a DVD player, so.
Yeah, or WrestleFest from 84. Okay. It's going to be my favorite running joke from now on. All right. Let's get into the Rumble. Let's start with the Divas match, because I think that's what we led off with last time, wasn't it?
Because it was at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, let's just get into that.
I was more concerned about cooking my bok choy than I was about that match, really.
Yeah. I didn't mind that they made it a fatal four-way. I thought that was fine, because it made no sense that it was a two-on-one anyway, so that was stupid.
Yeah, because didn't the Raw general manager make it a two-on-one to start with, since Teddy Long was incapacitated?
No. That was Vicky Guerrero's doing.
Oh, okay. Well, then that makes sense why it was a two-on-one.
At least. And then the Raw guy, because Natalya is considered a Raw wrestler, said, no, that's not going to happen, and then added Eve. Eve's on Raw, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's just that they haven't shown her very much. Like, they went from her being the hottest thing running to just completely keeping her off TV.
Well, no, she wasn't completely off TV.
Okay, she did a little bit less than the Bellas did with Raw GMs.
No, remember, she was the one that was out there dancing with R-Truth.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I did forget about that.
Yes.
So
she didn't deserve to be on a pay-per-view. Just based off of that, just that alone, she doesn't deserve to be on a pay-per-view.
Well, she didn't deserve to be stuck with him. Like, I remember just saying that she was finally, you know, seeming to get a hold of it in the ring. She seemed, you know, tolerable on the mic for a woman.
Right.
And You know, then she gets stuck with R-Truth. Like, that's her fault somehow. Like, she should be shit on because WWE Creative does not give a shit about the Divas.
Yeah, I know, but it was just, like, her dancing and all that was like, ugh, goddamn. You know you're going to be out there. Just do something better. So.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah.
But, okay, so when they announced it was going to be a four-way match, I know a lot of people were saying that was a good place to put Kong in. But my first thought was it was going to be Beth Phoenix. Because of the history. I mean, Beth and Natalya, they had a tag team match at the last pay-per-view taking on Laykul.
Yeah, and I think they've wrestled on SmackDown once or twice.
Yeah, so it only made sense that it would be Beth Phoenix.
And Beth Phoenix really hates Michelle McCool.
Yeah, so you've got all that in. I mean, and then you could have had your moment with, you know, you know how they had the moment between Laykul going at each other finally, well, sort of. They could have had the same thing with Beth and Natalya, like, well, we got to do this. You know, it the stuff kind of writes itself if you follow your own show.
I'm sorry, that's just how sad it is. You know what I mean? Like, all you need to do is follow your own show.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that is so sad.
Yeah, I mean, and there was clearly something behind it because Eve was crying. Like, legit tears crying after that.
Oh, yeah, I saw her going back. I must have missed the tears.
Yeah, it was totally noticeable. Her makeup was running. They went away. They went back, and she was doing the one tear, well, like one eye welling up, and then the other one was just pouring. And the announcers even said, oh, very emotional Eve. And it was like, well, what's the story behind that? Which is a topic we'll get to later, the announcers. Okay. But, I mean, there's clearly something there that no one's being told, or at least hasn't come out yet, why she was chosen.
Oh, yeah, no, it was it was completely out of the blue. Like, okay, yeah, she was on TV with Dancing with R-Truth, but honestly, aside from that, she really hasn't been on TV very much. Like, even with R-Truth, like, had she come out the last couple of times with him?
Nope. No, they got away from that all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really just bizarre that they picked her. I agree with you. There's got to be something there that they're not saying. And God only knows if we'll really get an answer because,
Division. Yeah, it may just be one of those things that we're not going to find out, that it is a behind-the-scenes thing. Now, going back to the Beth Phoenix thing, I thought that, like I said, that was a good place to put her. But then if they wanted to, that's where they really could have had Kong debut. It, without giving anything away, they could have had her come down, stop, you know, Beth Phoenix or Natalya from doing whatever, and then go back to my bodyguard thing with Laykul.
Oh.
And just prevent and have one of Laykul win. Doesn't matter who, because you know they'll probably do the whole divided Divas Championship thing. But then they could have built up a Beth Phoenix Awesome Kong match at WrestleMania. Because Boston would know who Kong is, and that's the important thing.
Oh, she started up there?
Well, no. Well, she lives in the area, but also Boston's a smart market. They're not stupid. They, you know, you got your internet guys. Remember, this is the same place that held the Royal Rumble, and they cheered at the end of the Chris Benoit-Kurt Angle match, even though, you know, Angle won because it was such a good athletic contest.
Oh. Nope, don't remember that. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. So it was one of those that...
Oh, my God.
What are you doing?
I don't know what commercial this is that I'm watching. Oh, it's cocoa butter formula. This woman, who is quite attractive, is sitting there, and evidently she just had her child, but she was shown caressing her pregnant stomach with the cocoa butter formula.
Okay.
It was so bizarre.
Oh.
You just kind of you have to see it. I can't really do it justice.
Oh, well, dude, we went and saw King's Speech on Saturday.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have the ads before movies now when you go.
Right.
Well, this guy's making dinner. He burns it. He goes and does this. The flowers die. He goes and tries another dinner. It's no good. Tries to do this, blah, 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 blah. So he's basically trying to set up the perfect date.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, God, what the fuck commercial is this? I thought it was a credit card commercial or something, you know. Well, all of a sudden, the wife comes home, or whoever the chick is, comes home with a bottle of KY something or other. Now, I don't care. I mean, obviously, I don't care. But when you're sitting next to your mom, because we went for my mom's birthday, it's me, Elise, my mom, and my dad. And I'm sitting there like, oh, my fucking God, that's not actually what it is. Because I just start going, well, that sounds like a good idea. And just going, why am I even talking? Because my mom's sitting right there. It's like, just I couldn't shut up. But I was like, that's just uncomfortable. That was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't care about KY commercials, but not when you're next to your mom. Jesus Christ. Anyways. But no, I just thought that that was a good place to have someone debut. Have Kong debut.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if you would have had her debut there, though, you kind of take out the lull that you created after the two championship matches and before the Rumble itself.
Are you sure about that though? Because
that's the only counter argument.
Yeah, but
if
dude,
you think that Boston's going to get all hyped up on Awesome Kong showing up, then they're going to be all hyped up and not, you know, just chilled out and given two rats of an ass about you know, the women's match. Which,
yeah. Well,
you know,
well, I guess though they were so dead for that Divas match that maybe it would have popped up. I mean, I don't think they wanted to lose the crowd that much that they could have utilized that point to at least get them like, all right, hey, wake up, wake up. There's something going on. They're like, what? Oh, it's Kong. Cool. And then move along.
Yeah, well, it also probably would have helped to not have Eve in there and somebody that would have made sense or that the crowd would have gotten behind more.
Dude, I don't know if that's really fair to Eve. I don't think she was a problem. I don't think it would have mattered if it was a 2-on-1 match.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Eve went and did what she was told to do, and she didn't do a bad job. She just didn't.
No, I'm not really trying to bag on her. Like I said, I'm picking on her just because of the circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, but I've read other places where it's like, you know, not blaming her, but saying that she was the cause for the dead crowd. And it's like, motherfucker, she had nothing to do with that.
Oh, it's because everyone's... And we said it when we were doing the preview, is that Michelle McCool and Layla are the only ones on the heel side for the Divas.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the only ones ever challenging for the belt, and it just gets monotonous.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, have them do something else. And then they didn't even... Did they even really end up fighting at all? I don't even think they were. Like, literally...
No, she got... No. McCool got bumped into Layla, the other way around. That's the only action they had against each other.
Yeah, because I just... I literally didn't give a crap. Yeah. Like, I was trying to finish up dinner, and I'm just like, oh, F it, this match, I don't really give that...
Yeah.
Shit's about.
And the crowd didn't care either. They even tried doing the build. Like, oh my God, they're going to fight each other finally. And the crowd was like, yeah, they're okay.
Yeah, the only thing that they seemed to go for was, what was it, the double sharpshooter?
Yeah, that was absolutely implausible and stupid, but I got a kick out of it, though. So
yeah. Yeah, they've done a good job of putting her in positions to do some funky stuff in the sharpshooter department.
Yeah. And I know this is WWE speak, but I don't understand why Natalya is fat. Or, I mean, she looks like she's just a solid woman.
Yeah, no, that was another thing that it doesn't make any sense. She might be, she's not as rail thin as Layla and McCool, but she's not fat at all.
I mean, no.
Like, I've dated fat chicks. She's not... they are not her size. I would love for the chicks that I dated that were fat to be her size.
Okay, I'm putting a timestamp on that because I'm going to pull that. 1844.
All right.
Okay, so anyways. Jesus, all right. Let's go on to the Edge match. I don't even want to talk about women anymore. Okay. But no, let's just stop. Enough. We're not going to do 20 minutes on the Divas again. So it is what it is. And tonight, I'm sure something different will happen. So,
yeah.
All right, yeah, let's get it. Which title match do you want to start with?
Let's just start with the opener. Why not?
And I don't know why I'm yelling. So, I just realized as my voice echoed through the room, I'm screaming.
You've realized that we've used a quarter of our time
on
the Divas match.
Okay. Well, yeah, well, let's talk about the opening match because I was thoroughly entertained by this.
I liked it. I don't know. It ended up being 20 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Powell who I was reading said that it kicked up 5 minutes into it. And sure, if it's the 5 minute mark or something like that, yeah. Like the very beginning of that was really slow, I thought. But they ended on a good note. Well, they ended on three quarters of a good note, I guess, if the 5 minute mark was when it started to take off. Because there was a noticeable jump at some juncture.
Yeah, I was even telling the Leafs, I was like, there's something weird about this match. I mean, I know there was a jump, but it was like, they're purposely, I mean, it was like grinding.
Yeah, no, it was terrible. I put it in my blog there, like that second match, not to drag it in too much, but the beginning of the second match, I really liked a lot more. Like, you obviously can't go full bore or anything like that to start a match, but, that just seemed way too slow.
Yeah.
Seemed glacier moving fast, slow.
Yeah, I was a little nervous watching that going, oh boy, this could be a really bad pay-per-view. And also wanting Dolph Ziggler to become something better than his name, I was really worried. I was like, oh my God, this match is going to suck. That's the end of him. Just all sorts of stuff like that was going through my head when I was watching that. But he, and, okay, I guess this is one of those things where it's like, it's not that I'm not going to give Edge any credit for anything, because he's the veteran of the two. He's been in WrestleMania main events. I mean, he has, so he's obviously the bigger star. He's the veteran presence and the more seasoned worker, I guess. But Dolph didn't look out of place in the match, outside of that horrible name. He didn't. The crowd didn't take him seriously at first. As the match went on, whether that's a credit to Edge or not, but Dolph's right there with him, the crowd started getting into it. Like, well, wait a second, this guy might actually win this thing.
Yeah, and he even got the little chant there, which was surprising to me.
Yeah. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, it sounded like the same guys trying to start the same chant, but it eventually started taking off. And then they always got the, let's go Ziggler, and then Ziggler sucks going right back. So I've always saw those as, it's always better to have that when a crowd is chanting your name and then chanting against your name by using your name.
Oh, just because it's still there?
Yeah, your name's still out there, so that means they at least know who you are.
Right. Yeah, no, I think this kind of leads back to me saying that, how many long matches Ziggler's been in with, how many good people, like, he's been in there with a lot of big names for 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So for him to pull off a good 20-minute match, to me, is not even remotely surprising.
Yeah. But the one thing I think, and this is also a credit to anybody, wrestling-wise, obviously. That was a 20-minute match that, to me, after that first 5 minutes was done, it didn't seem like a long match to me.
Oh.
That I was left going, hey, I wanted to see some more of that. And then I look at the clock or read the timestamp, and it's, 21 minutes or whatever it was. I was like, wow. All right, well, that's really good. They got me. So,
yeah. You know, and the one thing that I think helps is that Edge doesn't create a whole lot of movement with his matches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's kind of a slow grinder type, and usually it's kind of the opposite way around. Usually the face is the one kind of creating the movement, and the heel is the one that's just kind of working on a body part or something like that.
Yeah.
And that match was kind of opposite, where Edge kind of, you know, worked on stuff. And even though Ziggler was working over the neck, he still creates more movement. The Famasser, even the zigzag, like, there's more kind of move to it. Like,
yeah.
There was just that build up to, well, that, I thought it was pretty clever of them to build up to the spear. While everybody was down.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the last, what is it, 5-6 minutes? Ziggler hit the, I don't know what he calls it, the Famasser, I guess.
Yeah, they have a different name for it.
Yeah,
but.
Of course. But, so that got the first, like, near fall, a good pop from the crowd. Then, what was the second one? The second one was the sleeper. Was it the sleeper or the zigzag?
No, the zigzag, because then he went to the sleeper, and then he went back. What the hell? Did he go back to the zigzag a second time, I think?
No, he missed the first zigzag. All right, well, anyways, the sequence he had, he used all of his finishing moves. And at the end, after that interference where Kelly comes down for whatever reason, and like you said, they better have a reason for it. She comes down and attacks Guerrero. Edge is distracted, like, and I got a kick. All right, I got a kick out of Vicky Guerrero slapping the shit out of Edge. No. I just thought that was funny. You've got this beastly woman just smacking the shit out of Edge, and he's like, "What the fuck is going on?" Almost like it wasn't in the script. She just started doing it. But yeah, but when Ziggler hit the zigzag after that, I popped out of my seat like, holy shit, he's going to do this. But then as soon as he hit it and he rolled off to the side instead of just covering Edge immediately, I knew it wasn't going to happen. And then with that Michael Cole yelling, he's got it. I wish they wouldn't do that anymore. Or at least I wish they'd surprise us and have the announcer go, oh my God, that's it, and actually have it be it. Just surprise the shit out of us. Just once.
Yeah. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't know why that's in the Wrestling Hand Guide 101, that it must go against whatever you plan.
Yeah. But then also, it, like you said, it set up the whole thing with the spear, which, yeah, I was with you. I thought it was pretty cool, or pretty clever. The Edge, like, just kind of, like, looked around. But the the camera, whoever was directing that night, or on Sunday night, they missed a lot of money shots. And this match was the beginning of it. I mean, when Edge goes to look around, to like go, oh my God, no one's going to stop me from doing this. They had a wide shot from the corner turnbuckle.
Yeah.
And I'm going, put it on Edge, motherfucker, what are you doing? This is basic TV.
Yeah, or do it with a shot that you can see that the referee's out, that Vicky's out, and Edge is just kind of looking around. Yeah, they did. There were a number of times that it's just like, what the fuck are you doing? I even think Cole said something at one point. I was like, oh my Lord. It was later in the night, but he's just like, well, yeah, if we could have seen that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. Because that was during the Rumble match, and by then it had been so many bad shots. But yeah, but they missed Edge's face when he just goes, you could kind of see what he was doing, they cut away from it. There was a celebration, I think Edge's celebration they cut away from. So it was just like, what the fuck is going on tonight?
Yeah, no, there were a number of bad shots, and if that was one of them, I don't remember it in particular. But it does not surprise me that it happened. I kind of wanted to go back and rewatch stuff, but I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to yet. So, but no, overall, the right guy won. I mean, going forward, because it looks like it's going to be Del Rio and Edge, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because that way you can have a heel champion for SmackDown. Because Edge clearly doesn't mind doing jobs at WrestleMania.
That and, you know, it just keeps somebody on SmackDown. Like, the winner of the Rumble did not need to go up against whoever was on SmackDown.
Right.
You know, if it was a Raw guy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, when Edge won, and when he won with the Unprettier, or the whatever they want to call it, Kill Switch.
Yeah.
That was cool, and that's what I'm getting back to with Boston. They realized what he was doing. That was Christian's move.
I'm sitting there, I'm like, what? I could not think of Kill Switch. And then when I think a Striker said Unprettier, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that's what it is. And it's still completely forgotten about the Kill Switch until UI hemmed me about it this morning.
Yeah, the Unprettier is a much better name. So, I don't know. The Unprettier is such an awkward word to say, but it works better as a move.
I guess it. I always think of the band when I hear that now. So
yeah, exactly. Well, especially
like
when they say Kill Switch Engage. I'm like, okay. But yeah, so I thought it was a cool end of the match. You know, everyone got like Vicky got hers. Edge won. Dolph looked strong. Going forward, Dolph's. I told Eric this morning. Dolph's my pick for the Money in the Bank winner.
Oh.
Unless somebody comes along that's just absolutely on fire, I can't see it not being Dolph right now.
Yeah, and again, that's what I said in the preview. Not to toot my own horn, because I guarantee you I do another preview, I'm going to be fucking wrong as all hell.
Yeah. Okay, you know what's funny is, I don't think I chose Dolph, but so I think I'm just aping what you said. So, whatever.
Yeah, no, it all works. Yeah, because, and I said that it was if Del Rio didn't win, and not to really get ahead of ourselves, but Del Rio won, so there really isn't another guy that is in that high of a spot that I see them giving the briefcase to.
Yeah, after Del Rio winning, no. Kofi, ugh. Swagger already won it, and I don't know. Who else can you think of?
Who else can I think of? Swagger's definitely not going to win it again. And who else? I don't even know. I should look at the roster. Because, good Lord, Kofi's not going to win it, that's for sure. Let's see here. Let's get to the nice little homepage here, and we can figure this out.
Okay, I'm back.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to the homepage to see if it was even worth trying to the WWE's homepage to see. But, yeah, no one is really in position to do that. Barrett, I think, was the other guy that I suggested.
Barrett's a fair one. That was who Elisa thought was going to win the Royal Rumble. And I kept telling her, not a chance in hell, but...
If they're really high on Daniel Bryan,
yeah,
I could see him doing it, but he doesn't seem, they don't seem that high on him yet.
But I guess there's John Morrison, who I think I may have picked in the preview show. I don't know. They're going to have to start coming up with some matches. Because looking at it's going to be a repeat of the same damn Money in the Bank match.
Oh.
Because none of those guys are doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they aren't really.
No.
That's what happens when most of them are stuck on the perpetual motion that is SmackDown.
Yeah, I can't see Chris Masters being in it. So
Kane can be back in it for the 92nd time.
Yeah, I brought this up. I guess we can save it for a little bit later. But Kane and a certain new someone who just came back. But let's talk about Randy Orton and The Miz. I didn't enjoy this match nearly as much as I enjoyed the Edge Dolph Ziggler match. There's just something about Randy Orton matches that bore the shit out of me.
I don't know. Like, it's kind of funny how, like, most of the people put, you know, put the same moves in a match, but for whatever reason, I don't know if they reshuffle the order or they do things differently or what happens, but you're like, oh, this guy's matches are fine, and then you're like, this guy's matches blow.
Yeah.
And I can see that being the case with Orton. Like, his offense is slow, and then what's-his-name won't do any favor. The Miz really doesn't do you any favors either, because he's still good in the ring, but I'm not going to, you know, oh, he's as great as Shawn Michaels or whatever Cole likes to say, you know. Like, yeah. No, he isn't that good of a guy. He isn't that good. So I guess that is, and I guess going back to what I said just even earlier here, is the face tends to create the movement, and the heel tends to work something over. Well, when you have two guys that work stuff over, you don't have anyone creating motion at all.
Yeah, exactly. And or when the guy creating the motion goes at a snail's pace, that doesn't help either.
No. Yeah. It goes back to the old chin lock of death and everything.
Yeah.
Because even, and maybe I need to go back and watch old Ronnie Garvin matches.
Oh, God, why?
The whole stomp thing.
Ah, true. Yeah. Oh, God,
you
that's
know,
right.
Like, for that's some right. reason, I was fascinated by that as a child. I don't know why I liked it, but I did. Yeah. So, whatever. But, like, Randy Orton, it's just, like, every time I see that move, I'm like, move your fucking arm. Like, you cannot be that out of it that you can't move your arm.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if he held it down with one foot and stomped on it with the other, it'd be like, oh, okay. You know, that makes sense. But it's just like, wow, this makes no sense whatsoever. Especially, like, when he takes his grand old time. Like, I don't think Garvin, like, I don't think he did it speedy, because that guy couldn't fucking do anything speedy. But, like, he didn't sit there and, like, stomp and then take, like, two steps, move to the next body part, stomp. And it's just like, wow, like, really? And then, like, he skips the head every time. It's just like, no, boot him square in the face.
Yeah, well, that's what the punt's for. So they don't want to, you know, Bigfoot his own move, I guess. Yeah, it's just a Randy Orton match, and that's why I can't get behind him. I don't think his character's not bad, but his in-ring work, I can't get behind.
And I can't get over the pounding in the ring. Now, like, ever since he fucked up his shoulder that one time,
yeah,
it's not the same, and it doesn't, like, Shawn Michaels, like, he had that nice little cadence that went with the sweet chin music, so mm-hmm. you could kind of get into it, and it was almost like that old slow clap gig.
Yeah.
Well, with Orton, like, he doesn't have any cadence to it anymore. And, like, before, he just kind of pounded with his arms, and he kind of got, like, you know, some type of, you know, rhythm going. And now it's just kind of like he can't do it because he's too afraid he's going to fuck himself up again.
Yeah. And
so, like, the crowd doesn't even kind of quite get it. Like, they definitely get into it, and they are eating out of the palm of his hand at this point. So it's kind of hard to bag on him completely, but, yeah, I don't know. I thought the match was fine. In the beginning, as I already noted, I thought it was better.
But he could do himself a great service by changing that up a little bit. Not big, because as you know, the crowd eats him up. But he could change it just a tad. I mean, the only guy I really thought was that, and I really thought this was kind of stupid, really, the only guy that got away with the whole thumping or pounding was Shawn Michaels. But even then, I mean, you've got to be a complete idiot not to know what's coming. Even if you're out of it, if he's pounding on the ground, you know you're getting kicked. So I just thought that was weird.
Yeah, no, I have not ever been a fan of the, you're premeditating the move that is coming next.
Well, they actually told wrestlers not to do that. And Michaels obviously doesn't listen, so he's going to keep doing it because it's part of the whole sweet chin thing, but
plus he can get away with it because he can make up for it with everything else he does in the ring.
Yeah. All right, so what did you think of the end of this match?
Why am I having a hard time remembering?
Nexus comes, or
Oh,
Riley,
Nexus.
and Nexus comes out, Riley gets tossed into him, go to sleep,
Yeah.
and.
I was like, where the fuck did Punk just come from?
Yeah.
I was like, because he didn't come down with the four, and I almost felt like he just materialized in the middle of the ring
Yeah.
and gave him the GTS. Like, I'm like, I swear I was looking at the TV the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know how they do it. Like, he'll come down as part of the ring crew, but and then slide under the ring. That's how the Undertaker used to do it.
Oh,
But
yeah.
I'm just wondering. I don't remember there being like ring crew and stuff. So, is he under there the entire time? And then once the match starts, I mean, I don't know. That always perplexes me how they can stay underneath the ring while all that stuff's going on. It's got to be brutal under there.
Yeah, like even if you have an earpiece and you're getting the play-by-play, you've just still got to be sitting there. Like for a 20-minute match, you're just
Yeah.
under there. Just
But
like
you're under there.
I
But
took
no.
hope he took his phone with him and started playing Angry Birds or something.
Which is an addictive game. I downloaded that for my phone finally. That shit's addictive, dude. So, assholes that created the thing. But no, but if you think about it, if he didn't come down as part of the ring crew before that match, he's been under that ring since the beginning of the Miz and Edge match.
Yeah, so 40 some odd minutes.
Yes.
Well, probably closer to 50 if you do ring intros and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That
no, that
sucks.
had to have been brutal,
But
if that's in fact what he did.
yeah, but I to me I like the end of the match because I know it was interference, but it was interference that came out of the blue. That gave you instead of going, "Oh, of course," it gave you like, "Oh, wait a minute, why'd that just happen?" So it gives you know, food for thought, if you want to put it that way. Like, where are they going
Yeah.
to go now?
Yeah, and somebody mentioned that Orton and what's in Cena flop feuds basically. And I'm more than fine with that because you can still build up the Miz's win streak over John Cena. And Orton has something new to do to just get away from the Miz, which is kind of necessary after three
Yeah.
matches.
Yeah,
D
yeah.
dis despite the fact that I completely and utterly agree with King, that he always won by hook or crook. And I'm glad we'll get to the announcing later because I'll get
Yeah.
into that
Well,
part of
let's.
things afterwards, but
We might not get into the announcing on this one, seeing how much time we've gone through so far.
yeah.
But there's always another show later this week. Let's
Yeah,
get in. All right, let's get into the Rumble match
yeah, I'm
itself.
fine with it. It creates new stuff, and hopefully Orton has a fan or two so he just doesn't get his ass handed to him
Yeah.
constantly.
Let's get into the Rumble itself.
Okay.
I thought as I was explaining it to Eric, they went for logic over entertainment this year. And what I mean
Oh.
is, you had Punk and Dan and all right, you had Punk start, Core comes out, Nexus comes out, they all fight. And I honestly thought the GM was going to say, "Okay, if you guys want to end it that bad, you're all in the ring right now." That's how they were going to get around adding 10
Oh.
extra guys or whatever.
Yeah.
But when it didn't happen and he just told them to get out, I was just kind of like, "Well, that's kind of strange." Okay. And then Daniel Bryan comes out and it's like, "Well, wait a minute, wasn't Justin Gabriel the guy?" Or so that kind of set the precedent for going with logic in it. Like, no. You guys get the hell out of here.
Oh, yeah. And well, all of it made sense in a way.
Well, yeah, and
Yeah.
that's but most of the time that it doesn't. It goes for entertainment.
Right.
We were there in Atlanta when we're yelling Maven hasn't been eliminated. So,
Yeah. And heck, they even remembered that by having Santino come back into the ring after
yeah,
the
that's
first
far down the
win.
road logic. But then, all right, yeah, there's that. He went through the ropes. He was so out of it, he took the Edge coffee break. So that's logical. Even though they announced the winner, they're like, "Wait a minute, this dude hasn't been eliminated yet." But then,
Yeah.
But going into the CM Punk and Nexus thing, guy comes in, ass beat, you're out. Guy comes in, ass beat, you're out.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. It's a logical thing that would happen. That would happen. They beat the guy down real fast, didn't let him recover, and tossed him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that was great. Like, the only thing that wasn't logical were the guys getting their asses handed to them. It's like, saunter down to the ring. Take your time.
Yes.
Maybe get some back. Like, okay, if you're the first person or something like that, I guess it could... Oh. Yeah, because Kali still got his ass handed to him.
Mm-hmm.
Even,
Kali got rid of Harris, then Mason Ryan came in, and they all got rid of him.
Yeah, so that makes... You know, like, someone like Kali, it's like, okay, this makes sense why he'd be smart, dumb enough to just walk right in there, because he's that massive.
Yeah, but you had guys running in there. I mean, I'm like, this
yeah.
Well, Booker T, that, I mean, he needed to do that because then he needed to get all his signature moves in.
Yeah. So, yes, he did.
Yeah, and I was happy. And
the crowd loved it.
I wish we had 2 hours to do this show, because the Royal Rumble affected TNA in such a great way, and it exposes TNA as not mattering one bit.
Yeah, hey, we can go 2 hours. Can't we break this up somehow?
I guess. But, I mean, honestly, and this goes to the Kevin Nash thing, too. You had, what'd they say, 15,000, 18,000 last night?
Yeah.
18,000 people went in, all right, 17, because we'll figure the little kids didn't know who he was. You had 17,000 people that went crazy when Booker T and Diesel both came out. And I know I was saying Boston's a smart, you know, a smart crowd, whatever you want to do it.
Right.
I'll guarantee you, as smart as they are, half of them were like, where the hell's he been? Because none of those people watch TNA. Or, you know, if you want to deal with the standard, but...
Yeah, no,
18,000 of them don't.
Well, I mean, when your ratings are, let's just say, 4, and usually 1.2 or something...
Yeah.
It's obvious that 2.8, whatever that number comes out to, people aren't watching TNA.
Nope.
And I doubt there are that many people that are just watching TNA and not watching the WWE.
Yeah, because I was talking my other friend, Eric... I was telling him, I was like, yeah, Booker T. He's like, oh, where's he been? And I'm like, oh, God. I was like, he was in TNA along with Kevin Nash. He's like, they were in TNA? I was like, yep, they were. People don't know what happens to people when they leave WWE. The standard audience has no clue where these guys went.
Not even a little bit.
So.
And, I don't understand why, and this just goes for both of them. Like, I don't understand why the WWE doesn't do more stuff. Like, they obviously know that at this juncture, like, if they really wanted to put TNA out of their misery, is that they know some of these guys want a lighter schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Why not do it for guys like, I don't understand why you do it for Michaels and The Undertaker. Like, okay, they're better than those two guys. I got it. That's fine.
Yeah, like, how many dollar signs they've got in front of those names, though? So,
but I guess I don't understand why they don't do the same thing for Nash and for Booker T.
But they might not be. They may be, though.
Well, now they may be.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
But, like, way prior to this, it never made any sense to me. Like, okay, they're getting older. They obviously can't work a full schedule. They still have some name value.
Mm-hmm.
Limit their exposure. Have them only wrestle 6 months out of the year.
Yeah.
Fine,
yeah.
Do it. Like, sign them to a 2-year contract and only have them work a year of it, basically.
Right. Yeah,
and
okay,
pay them
okay,
accordingly.
Yeah.
You know, that would honestly, like, if they're doing something like that for Booker and Nash right now, I mean, it really does fuck TNA over.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
You've got to get rid of people like Anderson who are going to have longer careers and
whatever.
What I mean? They're still going to be around, and they don't really have a name established for themselves. Tell them to go fuck themselves and to go to the minor leagues.
Right. Yeah.
With Nash, it's like, okay, we can still get a couple of dollars out of you. Why not?
Yeah, you do it. Give him the Chris Jericho treatment. Jericho worked a lot on the road, but he also took a lot of time off in between gigs, signing 1-2 year deals. It's a smart way of doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Do it that way. It just, to me, it just shows the irrelevance of TNA. And I think I mentioned this before, maybe with you or with Eric. On the AWA disc, Shawn Michaels clearly specifically said that people went to the AWA to get to WWF at the time. And once you were WWF, you didn't want to go someplace else. I mean, until WCW started throwing out money, of course.
Right.
If you can't tell me if WWE came and really wanted one of those guys in TNA when their contract was up, that they wouldn't be in WWF. If WWF really, if WWE really wanted them, they would just go you, and you, and sign them to any, just sign them to any contract. But well, it just shows how much TNA doesn't rate at all. I mean,
yeah.
TNA was booking an angle to include Booker T and Kevin Nash. And as far as we know, unless there's something giant spoiler, which I'll be checking tonight because it's actually kind of an interesting story, that there is no main event mafia coming Thursday. Because two of the main guys are going to be in WWE. In the blink of an eye, WWE just put their thumb down on TNA and said, go fuck yourself. You don't rate.
That's the best response I can come up with. It really is funny. That's literally all that it takes. You know, you kind of go back to the, I don't know who the WWE can bring in for surprises.
Mm-hmm.
And those were their two surprises. Like, if the WWE can't come up with a surprise, TNA's surprise is going to be even more underwhelming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we may bag on Booker and Nash for being over the hill and yada, 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 but they were still a surprise. People still ate it up. People were booing the shit out of Diesel getting tossed.
Yeah. I'm just trying to look up spoilers for tonight's Impact just to see what's going on, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not big for right now.
Yeah, well, it sounds like they's going to be something, a nice little last-minute thing, so.
Yeah.
But the surprise for Kevin Nash to get away from TNA, because that should have been a different show. The reaction for Kevin Nash really surprised me. I figured people would know who he is, but I didn't expect there to be like a Diesel chant. They booed Rey Mysterio when he gave him a 619. I mean, you're getting people to boo Rey Mysterio. That's fucked up. That doesn't happen.
Right.
Rey doesn't get booed. I mean,
no, he doesn't. That was one of the strangest things I think I've ever seen, was him getting booed. I'm like, what? Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But yeah, and then
hey, well done.
They walked away, and to me, it seemed like they did a whole Undertaker-Brock Lesnar thing, where show just happened to be passing by when Nash was leaving. Just to get you, like chirping, like, ooh, what's going to go on, you know?
Oh, yeah, well, and just, I think you kind of hinted at it there earlier, too, with Kane. Like, honestly, like, I know that they're all dinosaurs, but if you want to have a couple more big man matches and to freshen up some of these feuds,
mm-hmm.
Kevin Nash is the guy that can do it. Like, he can work 4 feuds with Kane, Undertaker, and Big Show. Or 3 feuds, I guess. And Khali, if you really want to do it.
Oh, God, no. No, and that's funny. You mentioned one that I mentioned to Eric, and he was like, hell no. And that was Kane versus Diesel.
Oh, I'm not saying they're going to be good matches but
it's new. I don't remember them ever having a match.
Yeah, because wasn't he fake Diesel?
Kane was a fake Diesel. So
yeah, they didn't have a match even back in the day as different people.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly a barn burner, but it's something different. And, yeah. And you know, Nash would love to go off script and be like, yeah, I remember you, and that sort of thing. You know, just to insinuate or hint around that he knows, you know.
Yeah, where he came from.
Yeah. And like I said, these aren't barn burners, but at least it's something different that maybe they can turn into something come WrestleMania time, you know? So
it'd pep it up. It's not going to be a great match, and Nash is definitely in shape. Not that it does any good that his knees are still shot, but, you know.
Yeah, I know.
That's something else.
I'm trying to think. Going over some of the highlights of the Rumble, because everyone, if you're listening, you saw it, or you've YouTubed it, whatever. The John Morrison angle, I thought was, not angle, but the little bit with John Morrison. That was really cool. I mean, there's no way around that one. That when he got knocked out, I was like, are you fucking kidding? And then seeing him hanging on, I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, no, that was super ballsy, because you don't get a second take. If his feet hit, everybody looks like a jackass, and he doesn't get his big spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's like, wow, like, I've got to think that they put in extra weight. Like, he had to land, like, in a certain area. Like, I don't think those barricades were really meant for someone to hang on to them the way that he did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to have practiced that enough, like, I've got to think that he practiced that. Because I pulled some stunt like that when I was dancing in a club one time, and I ended up with a seriously fucked up knee. So, of course, it might have been the fact that I was drunk and John Morrison sober.
Where was the club?
Oh, in Italy.
Okay. Oh my god. Okay, so anyways.
Yeah, no, I still have a scar on my leg from it.
Fat chicks at Italian dance clubs. Kevin Pringo story. Oh boy. Okay.
Oh man. So yeah, like, that was ballsy of them to say, hey, yeah, just let it go. Have at it. And he did it, got himself up onto the up onto the barricade there and jumped back. Well, and it was ballsy to jump from the barricade back to the stairs.
That was the one that got me, because you, as we've seen, the top of those barriers, and maybe you're right, they did reinforce it, the top of those is just a piece of foam. So yeah. When he jumped off, I mean, he took a pretty big risk of not, like, going face first into the steps and, you know, all that. So,
yeah.
You know.
I guess I shouldn't be too surprised that maybe he was, not maybe, he seemed less half-assed about it than Jeff Hardy did when he used to run the ring barrier. I think Hardy was always trying to build up too much speed, and Morrison was smart enough just to walk over there.
Yeah.
And it might have kept his balance better and maybe made that top little cushiony piece not as relevant. Whatever. That's good enough wording for me. So, that was cool as all shit.
But that was really all he did.
Yeah, no, he didn't do anything memorable.
Yeah, and if you think about it, I think that's one of the themes of this Rumble. No one did anything memorable. You've got, all right, John Morrison, well, I'm sorry. Nothing star-making or that will have you buzzing about the next match they're in.
I like that clarification.
Okay. Because you had the really fun, all right, I was happy. Well, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I was going to say, there was that spot with Morrison, and then the whole part with the new Nexus, I thought was memorable, but you know, it's not star-making in any way, really.
Well, I think one thing that's going to get lost in the Nexus thing, and this is going to hurt Husky Harris's pretty much his career unless he tightens up, he looks like a mess. He really does. But that guy sprinted from the entrance, from the open, you know, the curtain all the way to the ring. And he wasn't breathing hard when he got into the ring.
Yeah. That's when you start to believe the whole Ferrari engine and a tank yeah. body or whatever the hell that they say.
That guy's an athlete. And he doesn't look like one at all. But he's got, I mean, that I was just in shock. Because I figured he would have ran down and his offense didn't look weak. Because I think he was helping out. I think he was helping Punk or something out. Yeah, because he was the first. He was the first Nexus member in, wasn't he? If I remember right.
Yeah, I'm looking here and.
Yeah, because it went him, McGillicuddy, and then Atunga.
Yeah.
So he gets in there. His offense doesn't look weak. Helps out, and then he's still not winded. Now later on, of course, he got winded, but for a man that size. I mean, if that was me sprinting from that far away into the ring, doing offense, and then turning around, I'd be fucking gassed. And I weigh a lot less than he does.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something, and that's something that the would have helped out by good announcing. A lot of this card could have been helped out by good announcing.
Yeah, and that's it. Well, it's kind of funny because I'm looking through like what I typed in here, and I put Stryker mocks Harris's shape. Nice work. And I'm not quite sure. I guess I must have found the comment funny. I don't know. I'd have to go back to listen to it to figure out why I read that in particular. But, yeah, well, I think the thing that's going to hurt Husky more than anything is that he was kind of the enforcer guy. And Mason Ryan's the enforcer guy now in their group. Like, he was the biggest of the gentlemen in the Nexus.
Yeah. He's the one that has the most star-making capabilities. Only because of his look. I mean, I don't know. I was really down on Husky Harris when he was on NXT until he slowly started developing his personality. And once the personality came out, it made the rest of his look, you know, way more appealing.
Right.
Or not appealing, but, you know, not quite as off-putting.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It... I don't know.
What's that for? Can't figure out what to do now.
No, I knew what I was gonna say, and I just blanked out all of a sudden. But I just whatever.
Okay.
Nothing's gonna change, and I'm trying not to get into an announcing topic, basically.
Oh, okay.
But
that's fine. Yeah, I mean we can skip over that portion of things to try.
But there's a lot to say, and I mean.
Yeah. All right. No.
Well, all right.
And I already said it, one, which is what I noticed. Like, at this, I started saying I wish Cole would be more consistent about who he was rooting for.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he's consistently rooting for all the heels, it's just Michael Cole is terrible again, but he's just rooting for heels instead of babyfaces.
Right, yeah. He did make one good point. When The Miz cheated, or Alex Riley did something...
No, it was terrible. Because he considered what Edge did cheating, but he didn't consider what Alex Riley was doing cheating.
But his point was that he was getting on the other announcers about it. He was saying, what you guys thought that was a good move on Edge's part, and that was fine, but Alex Riley does something to help The Miz out, and that's against the rules.
But then he also complimented it later in the match. You can't have it both ways. Like, for both sides, you can't have it both ways. You know what I mean? Like, you can't. The face announcers can't be pumping up a face that does something illegal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm with you.
You know, I guess it goes both directions for me.
Yeah. The whole thing is your lead announcer. And then what it all boils down to is your lead announcer shouldn't be a heel. The color guy is always the heel.
And he should be your best announcer.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at through all of this stuff for WWF at least, Gorilla Monsoon, Vince McMahon, Stan Lane. Was Stan Lane the No, it wasn't. Who the... You had Tony Schiavone. They had that whole thing in WCW. I was about to say Mike Tenay, but it's like, fuck him. But you always had the color guy was the heel.
Right.
It was never the lead guy. And it's just annoying. And it takes away from the matches. And it takes away from, like, critical points of the match that should be made.
Yeah, like when I guess. Oh, go ahead with your point first.
Well, what I was going to say is, like, the one that really stood out to me was John Cena tossing out CM Punk. They didn't make a big deal of it. They just said, well, there goes CM Punk. No. They just had 3-4 weeks of shit between each other. That's a huge deal.
Yeah, that and on top of it, he kept on guaranteeing that Punk kept on guaranteeing he was going to WrestleMania.
Yeah. So it was, and this goes back to John Cena hate too, but if you're going to have Cena eliminate Punk, whatever. I understand you want Cena to look good. It is up to the announcers to make Cena look good and to make it seem like, you know what, Punk, blah, 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 blah. None of them did it.
Oh, yeah, like after months of frustration at Cena, the doctor leader, and, you know, kind of be done with it, something along those lines.
Yeah, Cena's antagonizer, Cena dealt with him. You know what, after a month of putting Cena through hell, whatever else, you know what, Cena got his revenge by costing Punk his championship match. I just explained the entire goddamn angle, and they couldn't do it. It takes 30 seconds. And then you have Stryker go, yep, it looks like blah, blah, blah. Or Jerry Lawler. Yeah, well, we'll see if there's any blah, 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 blah. Just something. But instead it's, well, John Cena just saw CM Punk. Oh, look at that hornswoggle. Are you kidding? Even in a PG era of television, that's bullshit. That's just horrible stuff.
Yeah, and I haven't said this one in a while, but it's, you know, they write bad television, and they don't have to. You know, like, you can still be PG. I can still enjoy it as an adult, and it can all still make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of one of those things. Like, if... Sure, the kids aren't going to probably pay attention to that fact that they didn't go bonkers over that.
Right.
But for the people that are watching and the adults that get roped into this when their kids are watching it, like, I'm sure that my parents would have liked a little bit of logic when I was watching it back in the day.
I don't know. I guess so, I'm a stickler for details, so whatever. But
details of what?
Not just in crap, just storytelling. It's easy.
No, it really is. And then you were talking about, I guess the point that I wanted to jump on there was you're talking about the lead announcer being the heel.
Right.
Well, that's why I didn't understand the configuration of not having Josh Matthews out there. If Matthews is out there, he did a really good job because, like, they've kind of had to turn Stryker face, which is weird since Cole's on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So Stryker now agrees with Jerry Lawler, which is, he even noted was strange, because Stryker's like, I'm agreeing with Jerry Lawler, and that's just not common. Can you just let it be?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And they've, with that booth combination, they've really forced that. If they'd have Matthews in the middle doing the play-by-play, and he did a really good job, he's doing a really good job on SmackDown when he's the play-by-play guy, and then he can have Cole on one side going for the heels and Lawler on the other side going for the faces. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go through three-man booth, that is the way they need to arrange that.
Yep.
Yeah. And Matthews still calls a better match than Cole ever did on his best day.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he knows the maneuvers because, well, as much as Cole likes to make fun of his whole one match that Matthews had in the WWE, he had one match. And he trained as a wrestler.
Right.
Like, he knows the ins and outs of what's going on the ring more than Cole ever will.
Yeah. and having Jerry Lawler sitting next to him too, and they better have a payoff for Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole sooner or later. Because they keep bringing up, Lawler's like, you're going to get yours. Like, you can't touch me. And it's like, there's got to be a payoff sooner or later.
Yeah, I'm thinking that somebody's going to help Lawler pay it off.
Yeah.
That was the only thing I started thinking of over on the show last night. I'm like, someone's got to kick Cole's ass at this point.
Well, I think the GM's got to run it. It's been over a year almost, hasn't it, for the GM? It's got to come to light sooner or later, doesn't it? I mean,
I don't even think about it, honestly. Like, it's like, okay. Like, to me, there's no intrigue in who it is. Like, at first, they started throwing in the whole Rudy Poo candy ass.
Yeah, and they got away from it.
Rattlesnake. Yeah, they always kind of had these little inferences like, oh, it might be this guy, it might be that guy. But now it's just like, okay, there's just no one there, and they're just giving orders. Like, yeah, they really have gotten away from hinting at it being someone in particular.
Right. Yeah.
So now, to me, it's just kind of like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. And for Cole to get more booze than he deserves. You know what I mean? Like, he gets more booze for saying whatever his version of excuse me is. I can't even think about it. May I have your attention, please? Is his version of excuse me.
Yeah.
It was nice of them to, you know, give him Vicky Guerrero's line.
True. Well, should we spoil TNA's big they reveal? Because I've got it.
Oh, I don't really give a shit. It's not going to bother me.
This none. Is... maybe we'll do it for maybe if we do a show tomorrow or something, we can talk about it. So
okay,
it's just it's desperate and really dumb. So
okay,
but
yeah. Well, let's get back to trying to do something. Okay, we talked about Booker. We kind of did Nash. Do we don't really need to do more on Nash, do we?
No, I think the main thing we need to talk about is, and I was kind of hinting at it earlier, and that was the lack of star-making performances or notable performances. The guy who won, name one thing he did besides win.
The only person to saunter down to the ring.
Yeah, and he came out in a car, which was cool.
Yeah,
but,
and he came out in the car. That's what he did.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Normally, you've got, you know, something big happens. Edge comes back and wins. John Cena comes back and wins. There's at least a build-up to the moment. Del Rio just came out and won. But it didn't help him. It didn't get his name out there.
Let's see. You know, it just didn't. Orton tosses Sheamus and Kofi. Kane. Kane gets rid of Jackson. Ray eliminated Kane. Cena and Orton.
Who the hell? Del Rio, was it Sheamus?
Miz eliminates Cena. Orton, Barrett.
Did Del Rio get rid of Orton?
Orton, who gets tossed by Del Rio.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, so he tossed Orton then?
Yeah. And Santino.
Oh, okay, yeah, Barrett goes, okay. Wow, my wording blew, but I was just trying to type as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Barrett got tossed by Orton. Orton gets tossed by Del Rio, and yeah. Yeah, and that was it. Like, he didn't do...
No.
He didn't get rid of... He only got rid of two people.
He didn't even take, like, good offense from anybody to make it stand out.
Or, like, why doesn't he get rid of... where does he get in here?
See? No, you're proving what I'm talking about, though.
Okay, Del Rio shows up in a Bentley. Okay, he could have tossed Kofi. He could have tossed Ezekiel Jackson, Ray, who's his longtime opponent.
Right.
You know, I think those three guys, I wouldn't have any problems with them tossing. And even Sheamus, who kind of got screwed over the whole thing. Like, have him toss Sheamus then. Like,
yeah.
If...
Yeah, my,
why
who,
not?
Who was it that eliminated Hornswoggle? Was it Sheamus or McIntyre? It was Sheamus, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't even know if I paid attention.
That was my favorite
was
elimination,
Sheamus.
And I can't remember who it was. Because whoever kicked Hornswoggle, that little bastard got caught on the ring post and then bounced off. And I was rolling.
And I don't know. I think I keep on typing it wrong. I keep on calling it the Rogue... R-U-G-U-E kick.
Know.
I think it's the bro kick. I think it should be B-R-O-U-G-H.
Oh, I gotcha.
But
yeah.
I haven't checked their website to give a shit enough. Oh, I guess I could check it now that I'm here. But yeah, Hornswoggle was up on the top ropes there, going back for another tadpole splash or something.
And then kaboom!
Yeah,
and
then
I couldn't stop laughing.
And he just gets tossed. I'm like, that is outstanding.
Yeah. It was just funny because it was supposed to be a clean shot, and he just bounced off the post behind him and then fell. Just like a slug. But getting back to Del Rio for a sec, that's why I was kind of wondering if that's why they had the Santino thing afterwards. Not that it wasn't planned that way, mind you, okay? But Del Rio winning was so anticlimactic, they had to build it up somehow. They had to build it up to be bigger than it was.
Yeah, well, and the other problem that they have is that we're so conditioned, it seems like at this point, I'm so conditioned to expect a babyface to win the Royal Rumble. Like, I don't have a list of Royal Rumble winners in front of me, but off the top of my head, yeah, Edge, who was a babyface at the time, at least, Cena, Ray, and those are the three most recent ones, I think. You know,
Batista won 1 year.
And was he a face?
He was a face, yeah.
So,
it's been a while since a heels won, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's another thing. It's just like, they go out so many times with... If a heel does win a main event match, it's usually with some hook or crook that gets the whole crowd riled up.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, whatever, our person will get their, you know, their win back later, so what the fuck ever. So they let it slide. But this one, it's like, he can't get it, he can't get the win back, or, you know, nobody can get anything back from Del Rio at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It was just really weird. Then, yeah, I didn't even think, until you said that he didn't do much in the match, I didn't even think about the fact that he didn't do anything in the match.
But that seems to be what a lot of people did. People got in, people got tossed out. There was no drama built up and stuff. There was no, like, oh my God, that guy eliminated that guy. If they tried to do it with Ezekiel Jackson, eliminating Big Show...
Right.
But even then, it was kind of like, well, you've already established a guy who can body slam him, so it's not that big of a deal.
That, and didn't Big Show just toss someone, so he was kind of over the ropes to start with? So Jackson, who is clearly massive, just kind of, like, lifted up a couple of legs, and it's like, okay, there you go. Like, he wasn't trying to gorilla press slam him or something.
Right.
So... Yeah, no, there wasn't any big moment there.
No.
And then, yeah, I'm making fun of Cole for saying, hey, didn't Nexus want later numbers instead of getting, like, 5 through 10?
Yeah. And I like, well, how did this work out? Well, it just did. I mean, you already had Justin Gabriel in, so...
Yeah, that was another one. It's like they seemed clueless to the fact that it was a random draw like it has been every year. Oh, and you know what? They got through this year without... Did they not show the gold tumbler?
No, not once. Not once.
Wow. They got through a whole year without the gold tumbler. I swear that that's like a mandatory thing that it's got to be shown either on Raw or SmackDown before the Royal Rumble or on the show itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I miss that too. I liked when people get their number drawn and then they try and like, oh boy, or like, oh boy, you know, kind of like fake, like plan it out.
Yeah. Yeah, you always did have someone that's like, oh crap. Mm-hmm. And then they end up coming in like 27 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why were they oh crapping about it earlier?
Right.
It's called playing. It's called not or bluffing, idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I guess if someone had a memorable moment, I'm trying to think of someone else. John Morrison is one. This is a memorable moment. But it's not a star-making one, and it's going to be something to be talked about for a little bit. And it's Santino. Because...
Yeah, everyone's sitting there going, please, dear God, you are not going to do this.
I was hoping as like hell they would. And then obviously he'd lose the title opportunity.
Well, but, yeah, and they have done that before.
Mm-hmm. But when he came in, and it looked like he was crying while he was setting up the Cobra. And then he hit it. I expected him to miss, and Del Rio would just throw him out.
Right.
But when he hit it, I honestly was like, is this going to fucking happen?
Yeah.
But then as soon as he went and started running across the ring to throw him out, I was like, oh, okay. I told Lisa Del Rio's going to pull him
well,
over.
Wow. I think when he started going for the horn for about... Right. You know, a minute or so.
Right.
It's just like, oh, okay, yep, he's toast.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking, what a great end that would have been.
Yes, yeah, someone completely unexpected.
And now people would have hated it, would have bitched about it, but I'll tell you, that would have been pretty much out of the blue. And I know people are going to disagree with that, but I would have much rather seen Santino win than Del Rio, because at least it would have been memorable. Instead of just Del Rio going out and tossing one guy and being pretty much invisible the whole match.
Yeah. Well, and his whole Destiny thing, that's another one that they haven't helped. The WWE hasn't helped themselves out. He went on that big winning streak and then kind of lost a couple of matches. And then I think he's won a couple of matches, but what, it's against R-Truth?
Oh, yeah.
It's just like when you start off winning against Ray, and I feel like there's some other guy, well, even Christian, for Pete's sakes. You know, when you start off kind of taking those guys out, and then you kind of go back down to R-Truth, who himself mm-hmm. has been dialed back since getting to Raw.
Right.
You know, like, he didn't have – that was the other thing, is he didn't really have any momentum going into it. Even though they obviously made a big deal out of it being his Destiny – he didn't really have a whole lot of momentum, you know? It's
right.
Like, oh, okay, he's there. They're making a big deal out of him, but...
Yeah. I was glad to see you pointed this out, too. It was... after it ended, and Rodriguez got in the ring... Or, I'm sorry, Rodriguez announced it, then Santino thing happened. Then Rodriguez ran back in the ring and was hugging Del Rio from behind. That shit cracked me up. I was like, that is awesome.
It still isn't the Menden hump, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good thing it's not. So that's just awkward. That is awkward to have to explain to your teammates. Did it ever come out why he did that? I mean... He said he had to go before the team and explain himself.
Oh, really? I didn't even see
yeah.
that much.
Oh, no. Yeah. The team, his team, like, we don't know what he was doing there. So, yeah, he actually was supposed to go before the locker room and explain himself.
Yeah, I don't. No, I haven't seen anything. It was killing me that there hasn't been any word or anybody asking the question, like, why did you do that?
Yeah, why are you humping him in plain view? I mean...
I don't know. But if Roberto Rodriguez would have done that, I think I would have been in tears even more.
Yeah. But, all right, well, let's wrap this up. We've been blabbing long enough. So,
yep. Well, and I say if you really can, we could probably find a break.
Could point. What?
Find a break point.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But I don't think we talked too much longer than normal. But just before we get into other stuff. All right. So we actually did one of these. I'm really surprised. So it's pretty cool. I'll sign up so we don't drag it on any longer. And we'll be back later this week with a regular audio. So thanks, guys.
Okay, grandkids. Hopefully, since Jeremy and I did two of these in the past couple of days, we are given an off week. But hey, who knows? Since Eric doesn't have a fat girlfriend, and and I need to go grab a beer before I just shut up.